Okay, hi everyone, and welcome to day two of the Fibonacci and Elliott Wave 2023 conference as the 47th Synergy Trader event. And this is brought to you by tradeoutloud.com, fxtradersedge.com, and timingresearch.com, along with all of our co-sponsors for this event, which include our first presenter today, which is Michael Filigera of logicalsignals.com and tradershelpingtraders.com. And of course, all these presentations are for educational purposes only. Trading is not suitable for all people, so be sure to consult a financial advisor and only trade with money you can afford to lose. And of course, all sessions are being recorded individually. Those will be available on the timingresearch.com site and on YouTube and on your favorite podcast app. So I'm gonna go ahead and turn it over to Michael Filigera.
Thank you, David. And good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all that are tuning in to us today. My name is Michael Filigera, and I am the chief cook and bottle washer over at Traders Helping Traders and LogicalSignals.com. Those are both of my websites. A little bit of background on me. I learned Elliott Wave from Robert Prechter and Dan Ascani back in 1988. And I started applying it to the markets that I traded at the time in 1989. And those were in, I was living in Amsterdam. And so I was trading as a market maker on the European Options Exchange at the time. And so I started to apply Elliott Wave to the European Options Exchange Index. And I got a lot of very favorable responses from people because I used to sit in the back of the crowd. And everybody would gather around me in the morning and say, well, what do you think for today? And et cetera, et cetera. So one thing kind of led into the next. And suddenly I'm explaining Elliott to others. Now, a little bit about my background. Again, I started as a market maker here in San Francisco on the Pacific Exchange. I've traded here in San Francisco on the London Traded Options Market, on the European Exchange in Amsterdam. And then I got my full introduction into total electronic trading because I was on the DTB, which is the Deutsche Termienbörse, which is in Germany, and they're fully electronic. So I got my introduction there, and it was quite the experience. I came back to the U.S. in 1997, came back here to San Francisco, which is where I'm from, and I went back to the Pacific. And about the year 2000, exchanges started to go fully electronic. And the pit trading, which is where I excelled, ceased to really have that same intensity or necessity to trade because everything was being routed electronically. Many members started to leave the floor and things started to change. And I also then at that time decided to leave the floor. At about 2013, 2014, I also made a decision that I no longer wanted to play options via the volatility that I was seeing in there. So I decided at that time that I would be a day trader. And that's when I started to focus on the indexes. And my indexes of choice were the NASDAQ and the S&P. They remain my indexes of choice. And again, my primary tool for analysis remains Elliott Wave. So that's where I want to begin. And that's, I want to kind of I'm trusting that because there's quite a few people that are here, that they all have a familiarity or already have studied and are using Elliott Wave. But for those that maybe are needing a review or just looking for a review, I'm going to start by going to my largest picture that I have, and that I'm going to use the SPX. And accept it. I got a symbol in there. And that's going to be the S&P cash market. I'm going to open it up to my monthly maximum that I have. And we can see if I go all the way back here, my data for the S&P goes back to 1928. Now, the only one that I have that has even greater data is the Dow Jones, which I have data. And this is all via Thinkorswim, by the way, goes all the way back to 1902. So that's a tremendous amount of data on which you can build what Elliott would call your big picture. So starting here with the S&P, what Elliott had with Elliott Wave, what he had derived or what he put together was that the markets he started began to chart them. So the way that it was done back then, and actually when I first started, it was the same thing, is that every hour I would look up, see the price of the index, and I would jot it down on a piece of paper or on a trading card at the time. And at the end of the day, I took my six notches and I would apply them to, I had graph paper, and I would apply to my graph paper and then connect the dots. And that is how I built my chart, and that is how the waves start to form. That's the way Elliott did it. Now, as Elliott progressed, and he was using at the time the Dow Jones, that was his primary. And and he would take it off of the ticker tape, where it was. And so he began to build his charts. And he noticed that there were discernible patterns and how they formed and then how they repeated again and again and again. So he started to build his theory, and that's the Elliott wave theory. And what it really does suggest is that we can start from zero and build where the patterns are, and understanding that there are two basic patterns. One's called impulsive. And he realized that he was able to count what really ended up being five waves. So he labeled them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then he noticed that wave 2 corrected wave 1, and wave 4 corrected wave 3. And then when it was all finished in a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the whole sequence then was corrected in a what he then labeled as an ABC type of a move to correct the overall function. And then from there, he realized that that then produced the first and second wave of what then became the next degree. So in essence, really what Elliott was telling us, or continues to tell us, is that his theory, the Elliott wave principle, is a series of building blocks. And we can start from our smallest picture, and eventually that builds into our biggest picture of where we can have nearly 100 years of data. So then he developed cycles, but degrees. And so we are the biggest one that I use is called supercycle. Elliott goes one higher, and uses the grand supercycle. Now, that's extremely, extremely large. And in fact, through my own work, if I'm feeling that the supercycle that we just finished up here took 90 years, a grand supercycle is going to take 200 or 300 years. And that's an awfully long time. So I don't actually go above supercycle because, number one, it's like, why? What importance would that going to have on us here today in 2023? Grand supercycle is pretty big. Supercycle is very big. So I only use the supercycle. Those I'm labeling in the sky blue. So that's my key here. And then below that, so if we're going just in our degrees, we have supercycle, then we have cycle, then we have a primary, intermediate, minor, minute, and then sub. So all of these get marked. But to get onto this large of a chart, you can see it's all clustered and you can't even tell where anything is because of the fact that we had all this glorious move and then we've got this. So I can open it up and then it all becomes clear. So these are all the sub waves within. So going back out to that maximum chart, what also Elliott was telling us is that all degrees in operation will go are in the same direction and follow the same pattern. So in other words, if we are in a bullish run or an impulsive run, you're going to label it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Everything underneath it is also going to be labeled 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. For example, we were from the crash low. I'm talking about the crash in 1932. That is where the supercycle wave 3 began. What's going to be inside of supercycle wave 3? Well, I come down here. 5 waves of cycle degree. Now, what came inside this cycle wave 1? 5 waves of primary degree. So I can show you clearer by going out to this level. So here we are, cycle 2, and then we're now working on cycle 3. We have 5 waves of primary degree, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Within these, we had within primary wave five are five waves of intermediate degree. Within intermediate wave one of primary wave five, we have five waves of minor degree, et cetera, et cetera. So all degrees in operation follow the same pattern, and that was an up. Now, at the beginning of 2022, we completed a supercycle wave three. That suggests that we're now going to be putting in a supercycle wave four. And here's where it changes a little bit, because the labeling goes from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to ABC. Corrective patterns are ABC. That's how they get labeled. So again, following that same deal, and I'm going to bring this down just a little bit. There's our high, all right? There's cycle, supercycle. Then we have cycle, primary, intermediate, all finishing up. And I could have broken this down one more and put the minor degree five in here. So it's 5, 5, 5, 3. So we're in a supercycle wave four correction. And in my view, that began on January the 3rd, 2022. Now we can determine off of that initially, well, how long should this supercycle wave four take? Well, if it took 90 years to get up to that high in wave three, wave four likely should be probably 12 to 15 years. Now that has changed, and that's part of my discussion today, as to how today's markets and how algorithms have changed some of the aspects of Elliott and some of the aspects of how we count in terms of time. In any case, beginning now, so we're in a supercycle wave four. What is that going to consist of? Well, let's just break it down. It's going to consist of an ABC of cycle degree. Okay, so if we're in cycle wave A down, what is that going to consist of? Three waves labeled ABC of primary degree. That's what's going to be in that cycle wave A. So now I know that I'm in a primary degree ABC. So now what's going to be inside of that in each level? It's going to be an ABC of intermediate degree. Okay, so now we can look. So I can break it down even further. Same deal. All degrees in operation will all form the same thing. Now, one additional add into this is to realize that within an ABC, there are two basic patterns that the market can take. And that can be zigzag, in which case what's going to happen is that it's a 5-3-5. So wave A is 5 and wave C is 5 and the B wave is 3. The second that it can take is that it's going to be what they would call a flat. And unfortunately, or fortunately, that is not as evident because there are approximately 13 different variations it can take, including triangle, including double, triple ABCs. Now, one of the things that has been altered and changed, and primarily, I believe, by Robert Prechter's group, which is Elliott Wave International, is they have begun with using, you'll notice, WXYZ or WXY or all these different things, which is basically, as I come to understand, in my world, it's just a double ABC or a triple ABC. So somehow putting it into a different format is easier, I guess, for a lot of people to understand. Now, but back to how we're counting this. So we had an ABC down. So that was from January of 2022 to October, excuse me, of 2022. That then formed, so we had an ABC, that formed primary wave A. So we know that overall, we're looking for a primary degree ABC to complete the cycle wave A. Well, there's the primary A, and here is the primary B, which is still in progress. Now, this is my alternate count. My preferred count does show that the primary B wave completed at the, would it be this one? But at the July highs, we completed primary wave B. And I actually can show that over by going over to the futures. And so since we're here, I can go here. And you can see that primary wave B is stacked up, but is complete. Now, so what does that tell us? Okay, again, back to here. What are we looking for cycle wave A? An ABC of primary degree. Well, I got the A, I got the B. Now I'm looking for that C wave down. And a lot of people are going to fight you all the way because, oh, no, the market can't go down. We got a new bull market. We got this. We got that. So here again, now I want to take it back one step. Well, how does Elliott really benefit? Well, my wave count is showing that we've reached a high and we should now drop in a primary C wave. Everybody on the ground is going to say, how? Why? How's that going to happen? We have lower interest rate. We got this going on. We got that going on. It's like the one thing that Elliott Wave always, always tells you is that it really has nothing to do with fundamentals or economics. Seriously, Elliott Wave, and counting it properly, even Elliott told us what he saw and how these waves are formed is because it really tracks and follows human emotional responses, not fundamental changes, not economic changes, not world events. It's how we as human beings respond to that, those events. So if we're thinking about that economically, we just go into like, oh my God, the whole economy is falling apart. What's going to be our emotional response? Fear. And how does that represent itself? In this case, selling and massive selling, fearful selling, right? Same thing of if we're getting good news and gee, the market should go up, et cetera, et cetera. What would you believe should happen? Then, okay. I hear there are already some questions. We'll try to get to those. So again, when things are looking good, right? What really propelled this C wave, which started out pretty normal and then suddenly right about here in May, it accelerated. What happened in May? Well, artificial intelligence. Everybody jumped on. Everything turned bullish. We got analysts and people out there saying new bull market, which I found pretty astounding that they were able to make that type of a call. What really changed? Because the economics of it, the fight against inflation, what was happening inside of big cities, et cetera, that hadn't changed. What had changed? People's thought, people's understanding, oh, new bull market, you got to buy it. Oh, artificial intelligence, it's a new thing and it's really going to take over, you got to buy it. And so that fed a period of time where the market just pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. But again, on an Elliott basis, it's like we can figure out, and this is where Fibonacci comes in, we can already put into play what we're going to feel. Where can this B wave go? How? Now, something very simple, by the way. We just use retracements. Because the other thing that Elliott did share with us and teach us is that the progression of these moves follows Fibonacci. Now, I want to just step back for a second because I think it's real important to understand. Elliott was not writing something that we can attach economics and fundamentals to. The waves will be produced and many, many times as a result of those economic and fundamental occurrences. If they're strong enough to in either direction, you will get that response from the market. So, yeah. It's just all there. An Elliott wave is not predicting that we're going to go into an economic collapse or interest rates are really going to be hiked higher or interest rates are going to start to go lower. What Elliott does predict is the human emotional reaction to that event, to that news. So people say, well, what's going to cause the market to go down? Well, I can give you a list and we can choose A, B, or C. But to pinpoint and say that's what it's going to be, I don't know. And if you have analysts that are going to tell you, it's like this is just posturing. None of us actually know, to a pinpoint accuracy of what's going to propel a buyer or a seller the next day. I can give you ideas. I can give you thoughts. I can give you levels. I can give you to just indications of areas. And that I can do through Elliott and Fibonacci. I want to combine the two. It really does fall into play. But let's remember, Elliott Wave is not a science. It's an art. It's a matter of interpretation, and it's interpretation based on human nature. So another thing that I really went out and I decided I was going to study was human nature. And that really came about because the Fibonacci sequence is really just really the law of nature. The Fibonacci number sequence, which was put together by a man, Leonardo da Fibonacci, because that's the little town, is so accurate, but his sequence was just taking, starting from zero, taking the next number, and you just add it, right? So it's zero, one, and then one. So that's two, two plus one, three, and then it starts to go higher. So it's 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34, 55, et cetera, and that goes to infinity. And then Fibonacci and Elliot started to realize that there was a calculation that 3 is 6, 1, 8 of 5, 5 is 6, 1, 8 of 8, et cetera. And you can keep building that. And then to take it further, Elliot began to see there were Fibonacci relationships between the wave. There were certain things that say, this is where a wave would correct. So the human emotional responses, right? Because I have to tell you, the law of nature, which includes the Fibonacci sequence, fills our own bodies, fills nature, right? And case in point, if you have the number sequence 3, 5, 8, right? Look at your body, right? You got two eyes, a nose, a mouth, and ears. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? The five senses. We have, when we're looking at our arm, right? You got a shoulder, you have an elbow, you have a wrist. That's 3. What comes at the end of it? 5 fingers. What's within each finger? 3 joints. The 5, 3, 5, 3. The pattern repeats and repeats and repeats. It's nature. Look at a piece of broccoli. 5 and 3, it'll repeat throughout that plant. But when you look at it, boy, that's a cluster. It's a cluster of 5s and 3s. And it just repeats and repeats and repeats. Plants, they're just the same because genetically that's how they're created, but they follow Fibonacci. Everything seems to follow Fibonacci. And then there's Fibonacci time sequence. So again, this has expanded and expanded and expanded. Now, I also want to add into this, the differences and the changes that I now see, because remember, Elliot lived in he was actually in California. He had a very severe ailment with his lungs. And so he came to Southern California because he needed to have that drier weather so that he could heal. That is when he took the time. That is when he did his writings. That is when he did his research. And so he took all this time and realized that there are time sequences that are applicable on a Fibonacci basis and how everything rolls itself out and how a wave pattern and how he taught us that you start with your biggest picture you can gather. So the most data you can get. So for me or for us right now, looking at the S&P, well, I can get data from, well, on the futures only back to 1983. If I go to the cash market, you saw 1928. So that's a lot of data. So I start from the big picture and work my way down. Now, remember, he created it starting from the lowest level and working your way back up. But now we have that luxury of we have enough data, we can start from the biggest picture and work with the understanding that all degrees operate in operation, do so in the same fashion. Now, one thing that I wanted to bring in today, which I think is important, is having an understanding on how Elliot and Fibonacci have changed because of algorithm. Again, as I stated earlier, I left the floor because everything went electronic. I stopped trading options because of electronics. And it's how it affected volatility and how volatility was changing in terms of how you trade. And all of that has continued on. So as the markets progress, as trading progresses and evolves and has addition, what do we really start to see? We start to, now we have derivatives, right? Which are really considered what? The options. So, but look at this. This is just all the expirations in September. So we used to just have once a month. Then we added Fridays. Then we added Wednesdays. Then we added Mondays. Now in our indexes and many of the ETFs, we have an expiration every day. So now we have the advent of zero DTE options, 0 days to expiration. So again, we have them today. These options are gone. They expired, right? These are what's expiring today. And these are based on this future. So now we have zero DTE. Now let's take a look at something else because we're talking about derivatives now. Everything that's been added to our indexes. This is the VIX. Now I put this up because I want to show you. Well, there's the main index, but here's the short-term futures. Here's the midterm futures. Here's the ETF on shares outstanding on a short term. Here's the CBOE one-day volatility index. Well, here's the six-month. Well, here's the midterm, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I can keep rolling. So there are derivatives on the derivatives. So a while back, I with David and with the, on a Synergy event, the title of my presentation was, "Are Derivatives the New Underlying?" See, it used to be that it was the underlying, which was the stock or the index. And that is what controlled the movement. Well, now suddenly, because we have this everyday expiration, I'm going to go back over and just use the SPX when it moves. Here we have September 6th. That's today. Here are the options that expire today. So they've been in existence for a while, but starting with the Globex session last night, you could trade with impunity because they couldn't early exercise. You couldn't be exercised against. So they can start playing the game of where this is going to get pinned today. So now we have this volatility in play, right? And that volatility takes its own life. And how then does it affect the price of the options? Which then, how does that affect the underlying index that it's on? So now we've added another layer of what we need to consider or what we need to understand in terms of what's really affecting the move. And quite frankly, it has nothing to do with being bullish or bearish, which is, of course, for since the beginning of time, that's how we factored in what we're doing. Oh, it's a bull market, we buy it. Oh, it's a bear market, we're going to be sellers. Time to get out. Well, now a lot of these moves have nothing to do with banks and money managers suddenly becoming bullish or bearish. It has everything to do with what's happening in the zero DTE options, what's happening within the volatility. Because there are so many different products right now, have derivatives become the new underlying? So in other words, what's happening into the derivatives is going to dictate, clearly dictate what happens in the underlying. In this case, SPX, it's an index. So what's happening in these options is going to dictate what happens in the index and what happens to within those options via gamma, delta, et cetera, dictates where is this market going to run to and fall from. So suddenly we've just added a whole bunch of new things that are going to affect how are we going to actually see this play out on an Elliott basis. I begin to see it really coming down into our lower timeframes, the 4-hour chart, the hourly chart. And where I've really started to see it is that we had where, you know, we're getting moves that you just think like, really, this, okay, comes in a very strange place. Or we're seeing rallies that should be 5, but they're ending up being 3s and they're not necessarily corrected. I'm seeing second waves, which normally I wouldn't be looking for what we term as an irregular formation. And what I mean by that, I've got to take me up, but they exist. And what it really kind of starts to show, like this was a very strange triangle pattern for a wave 4, very, but that's what fit. That's what worked. But I'm seeing more in wave 2, like this is pretty straightforward, but I'll see like there's the one, it will get that, it'll go down, put in a new low below one, and then shoot back up to finish. And then I'm seeing irregular B waves in the second wave position. And that never really occurred before, but I believe it is because of how algorithmic trading, which actually is everything, right, is in control, and how then within the derivatives, how these different functions like the delta and the gamma, particularly the gamma, affects our moves intraday and how things get pegged. It's really calmed down a lot. I will tell you that it has calmed down a lot. But back in, let's say, you know, March, April, May, oh my, it was like every day, it's like, what is the S&P doing? It would do this massive run. And really all that was happening, again, no bullish, no bearish, it was called gamma, and how the gamma flows came in and how the market would just run to monetize a particular option. And once that occurred, it would turn and go in the opposite. Is that bullish? Is that bearish? It's like, no, not really. It's neither. So it becomes a factor of algorithm. And that's a strong add to how we want to count our waves. So we do have our basic rules. and those are Eliot's set. And those, I think, there's some that I absolutely hold to. And again, going back to your basic impulse move, labeled 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, where wave 2 corrects wave 1 and wave 4 corrects wave 3. Well, wave 3 begins normally at where wave 2 tops out. But if wave 4 starts to come over and crosses over the price territory of wave 1, well, then it's not really correct in wave 3 anymore. It's overlapping and producing something different. Similar to wave 2 correcting wave 1, well, what happens if it goes above the starting point of wave 1? Well, then it's not, wave 2 is not correcting wave 1 anymore. So it's something else. So those remain pretty firm. But in between, I'm seeing where there'll be rallies and they're like all ending up being threes and they're not diagonals. So we see these more on our very, I'm going to say very small time, where you get these patterns and you're just scratching your head going, what was this? 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3. Was that a triangle? And then we drop out of it. No, then what was this? So we're getting a lot of differences in pattern, and I believe it's due to algorithmic trading, which is just all preset. So you're moving in, you're moving out. Now, also consider, right, what I was talking about before. Are the derivatives the new underlying? So what do we get going on in here? We're going to get where, you know, if I'm a trader and I'm making markets here in the SPX and I'm looking at the volatility, it's like, yeah, okay, it looks pretty good. Market's trading 44.66. We can come down to the 44.70. These die. These end and expire today at 4 o'clock Eastern. They're done. So, but between now and then, the 44.70s, which are basically $4 out of the money, right? What's the really intrinsic value? Zero. Why do I need to buy something that tells me I can purchase this index at 44.70 when I can go out and do it at 44.66 or even less, right? So, but people are going to come in here and buy these and pay $6.20, 30 cents for them. So in essence, what are they really doing? They're paying 44.76 for the index, for the privilege of buying the index at 44.70. So I sell that to you. What's my cover? I go buy the SPX, which is all going to be buying the index. Clearer message would be to go over back over and let's look at it via the ES. So again, these expire today. So again, now we're going to be basing it on this. So here's the price, right? The bid ask 72 at 72.25 or 70.50. We can come down here. Here we're looking at the same ones, the 44.70. They're willing to pay you $8.50 for that. These also expire today at 4 o'clock. What's their intrinsic value? $2, maybe. Why they're offered at 875 and people are trading it? Volatility. Okay. So if I sell that for $8.50, let's say, and I go and I buy this, so essentially I've given somebody the right to pay 44.70 for the index from me, but I'm selling it for $8. I'm going to round this up to make it easy. So I'm selling it to them for 44.78. I could pay 71.50. That's $7.50. Wow, look at that. So if you understand options, where they're going to tell you a put is a call and a call is a put, then you're able to put this together, that these two combined should equal that. But when they become out of line, I'm a computer or I'm just a trader, that's where I jump in. I can take advantage. So again, what's my question? Has derivatives, all of this, become the new underlying? It's a very interesting question. And you're going to get a myriad of answers like, no way. It's like, way. Because what continues to evolve and change? Option. And options are controlling. Okay. So how does that then change, Eliot? Basically, just kind of the wind telling you. When we're here trading for the day, you've got so many things that come in. There are so many different reasons why a market's going to go. And a lot of it does go back to that index. I'm trading the S&P or I'm trading the NASDAQ. So we already know that with, let's go back and it's a little bit easier because there's only 100 stocks. There's only 100 stocks within it. Now, here's the secondary thing that a lot of people really need to kind of embrace, and I think many already do, is that all of these indexes are capital weighted. So when we're looking at what is really inside here and what's going to affect how this thing moves, Well, let's look at the NAS. The number one heaviest weighted stock is Apple Computer, right? So what happens in Apple, you can see the percentage it is responsible by providing a negative effect today of over 1% to the move in the NASDAQ. And you can go down the line and you can see it. The other thing that I think that people need to realize real quick is the over-evaluation of these kind of what is really enforced. Terry, basically, yes. Terry's asking, so you're saying that options are controlling and not the futures? Yes, because of the what we call the greed. If you have a position in a future and the gamma was within the option, what the gamma is going to tell you is the price change to your option every dollar move. Oh, you can make a lot of money. I don't have enough time, Wendy, to really explain all of that, but you can make an awful lot. But you understand that you're playing against very large firms. So you really need to understand the functionality of everything before you step in, because unfortunately, zero DTE options have become the new fun thing for a lot of people because of what they hear and like, oh, look at all the money that's being tossed around, which is. But if you don't understand how it all functions and how gamma is going to affect your price and how volatility as it gets closer to the expiration and you're either in the money or out of the money, well, it's going to die real quick or explode. So if you know the function of gamma and what it's really telling you, and you can see that gamma expand or decrease, then you're going to have an idea of how and what you need to do. But it's fast. It's very fast. So these are all super interesting things, but it's a lot of things that you really got to, you know, pay attention to. And in all honesty and fairness to all of us, I mean, I'm sitting with 44 years of experience of analyzing the markets, of trading the markets, of being an options market maker, of actually trading in the futures and continually evolving and trying to understand what is behind the move. Now, if you're just a straight day trader and you're just scalping, then you don't care who's buying or what's buying or why it's going up or why it's going down. So you've now added another layer. I'm just following the price action. And the price action is telling me that it's broken this level, that level. And so, you know, then I'm going to be over to, you know, a chart like this. And it's going to be like, that's all I'm following. Look at that. I got a 1 minute and a 5 minute chart. And now I'm using a whole different set of givens. Is Elliott Wave in there? Sure is. Right. And I can look at that. I go, look, I bet you I can count five down to that level right there. Now I'm looking for an ABC up. And I can run fibs on here to give me a determination. But to tell you the truth, when you're using moving averages, it's very often going to be tied right into the moving average. So you're going to have to benefit yourself and learn what does it mean when these moving averages break. If this came up and broke above that 50, do I buy it? Do I sell it? I would probably buy it. Why? Because the theory behind it is like if it breaks strength here on the 50, it should run up to the, well, this actually is VWAP, the red one, and the magenta is the 1 minute 200. And this yellow one, that's the point of control. Now, the point of control just represents where our buyers and sellers have been most comfortable and the most volume has traded thus far. 15,490. Well, look where we're trading, 15,404. Wow. But the volume was heavier here. And what are these two lines? Well, that is showing you where the value area right now sits. So we're trading below the value area. So what is the natural tendency for the market? It wants to get back up above the value area and get back into the value area. If you're a buyer and you're a strong enough buyer, you want to get back up here because that's where you're going to probably find your sellers. Now, if you're a seller, you're just going to start hitting the bids. And you're going to have to drive it lower because you're going to be searching for, well, where's the value? Where are my buyers going to step in? So again, different set of screens. I know I'm sorry, I changed my share and therefore you guys couldn't see it. I apologize. So I should have stopped and redid my share, which actually, you know, David, I am going to do to stop that. I'm going to go back to my other chart and I am going to share my screen again. And let's just go to this. It did. So it's bringing my 5 minute chart and I want to add my, hopefully now you guys can see my full screen and that, yeah, you should be able to see it. So that's what I was talking about, these different lines. And within them, that's what I'm talking about, the 50, so it would break. And we're looking for value. Now that, because I'm a day trader, those are important. But what I also keep in my mind, again, is what I was referring to before, and we're going to go back to my other, there we go. And so we're back to here. And what really kind of comes into play here, even on my 15-minute screen, this is a 15-minute screen, then you're going to start, then I'm looking at, well, what's going on in the options? And here, in for the NASDAQ, the big one to keep your eye on is going to be the Qs. Why? Well, because it's the ETF, and it trades much more than the NQ options or the NDX option. So I go back over here, and I look at the Qs, and we can take a peek, and we can see for what's expiring today, where are they lining up? Look at the volume. This is huge. This is huge. 12 million shares of the Q have traded, 12 million. Well, look at this, 31,000. Where are the puts? Wow. So, and this is how you start to figure your gamma flows, right? You got 77,000 of the 375 put have traded, and the 375, 31,000. So combined is over 100,000 in volume on one strike. That produces huge gamma. And so if this thing starts to drop or go up, that gamma kicks in and it forces the traders to make adjustments. Either you're going to get, if it really runs against you, you're either getting very long or very short, very quickly. So you will be forced to adjust whatever your position. Again, it all expires today. So that even puts a little extra emphasis on. So there's so much going on. So again, how do I want to relate that to my Elliott? And what does it really start to show? Now, here we are. I'm going to go back to my hourly chart, which is my main chart that I do my analysis on. This is in the Qs. Let me go over to the NASDAQ. So at least you'll see part of my count. This I've had to change a couple of times. And it looks like I'm going to have to change it again because we're continuing to decline. And now we're breaking below levels that may start to accelerate the downside. So this may have to come back down to here or even to here, the four, and then this becomes the five. But then let's look at the five. Gee, it's three waves. It's not five waves, it's three waves. What really is going on, Michael? How do you want to figure that, right? And so I get a lot of calculations on a Fibonacci basis on where all of this is going to fall into place. But those change. Like right now, one thing that Elliott showed us is that if you're doing Fibonacci relationships, there's a relationship between a fifth wave and a first wave, right? So if you're trying to build what's the potential now that fifth wave can do, well, I can make a comparison to the first wave. And so God bless the electronics because they've made it so much easier for me because I can do extensions. And I just zip up and I run it over to here and here are my extensions. And your most common extension between wave five and wave one, no matter the degree, is equality. So wave five would be normally or most often equal to wave one. Well, from here, if that holds, which it didn't, so this is now invalidated, but say it did, and this turns into a three, and now I'm looking for this five, which before the opening, that pretty much was what I was thinking. We got the four, we got a five, but now it broke it. I would see what's kind of happening in between. Well, I see that we got a lot going on. I suddenly don't like what they bought yesterday. Why? Well, I would think that inside of this somewhere, we got gamma at play. So we're making adjustments and we're just, you know, working it back in another direction. So is it bullish? Is it bearish? I don't know. I just think it evolves on its own. So what about gamma? You can look up in several like Wikipedia, Investopedia, and you can study just to see what is the definition of gamma and what does it represent? And then you can multiply that. And because these are options that expire in no days, so they're born, they live for one day. And that shoves gamma in all kinds of directions real fast. So if you're positive gamma and this market is sinking like a stone, you're getting longer. You're not getting shorter, you're getting longer. So what do you need to do? You need to sell. You need to adjust your position or you're going to get buried very quickly. If you're short gamma and the market is going up, you're going to get shorter. So it's what it's telling you. It's like, this is what it's going to increase. So what do you need to do? You need to buy. So consequently, what happens often is the opposite of what you really want to do. You know? So Yeah, it's crazy. What should we look for? Again, I'm just going over questions now because I got about a couple of minutes and I'm going to have to finish up here quickly. So I'm sorry, internet, you're in it. I'm going to tell you what, I am going to actually put mine in, Wendy, and you can email me. I am going to wrap this up because I know David's on a very tight schedule and I don't want to overdo my, and thank you, David, for putting it back in. So thank you, everybody. It is an ongoing conversation. As you can see, there's many moving parts. It is what I do, and I'm more than glad. I do operate a trade room. I don't necessarily talk about gamma and options inside that trade room, but we're day traders. I also do offer coaching. And so both of those, you can email me and get more information and ask questions. I will always answer your questions. And I'm going to quickly just say thank you. Thank you, David, for inviting me in. I really appreciate kicking off today. And thank you, everybody, for coming in and for sticking around and asking great questions.